After sleeping on it last night, overall, how do you think the guys performed? And how do you think they are mentally going into the championship game?
Well, let me answer your first question first. I think our guys played really, really hard and played together. They tried very hard to follow our game plan. We missed some easy shots. We missed some free throws, obviously. So it wasn't one of our best offensive games, but I think it was maybe our best defensive game of the year, especially against a really good team in TCU. In terms of today and going into tomorrow, you know, one of our cultural principles we talk about all the time is get past hard. And, you know, we just came from a little meeting with the guys and breakfast, and some of them look a little sleepy, a little tired. I said, guys, you don't got time for that. You can get rest after the game. You can get rest this weekend, and you know, obviously there'll be plenty of downtime, at least from basketball, when we get back. But we have to put everything we have into being focused in our preparation today, and you know, playing extremely hard tomorrow night against Lipscomb.
How much familiarity is there to the fact you had them a year ago? Some things changed, but they brought back a bunch of people. But when your first glance, when you're looking at them?
Well, I watched that game last night from last year, and on one hand, you can take certain things out of it from a personnel standpoint. You know, maybe some of the stuff that they do stylistically, although they're not playing exactly the same. On the other hand, they're, so much more advanced as a team, just because you bring all those guys back. You know, obviously at that level, guys are in college for 4 years, and they took a foreign tour over the summer and had a bunch of practices and games, and this was kind of positioned as their year, and they've had a phenomenal year. They went to the NCAA tournament last year. It would have been an NCAA tournament this year, but Liberty beat them in their conference tournament. So certainly we can take certain things from that game. One of their players, Eli Pepper, if you guys remember, dunked on Mo. And that was the thing that our guys remember most from that game. It kind of, woke Mo up, because he drove right down the lane. He went by Dylan and dunked the ball on Mo early in that game. But there's definitely some things we can take, but at the same time, they're much improved, and our team's changed a lot too. I have probably about over 50% of the guys that were out there in that game, won't play tomorrow night.
These guys shouldn't obviously lack motivation right now, but does it seem like they're taking an even special interest in sending Snoop and Dio out winners? Because not many seniors get to leave college basketball having won their last game.
No. Not at all. You don't see that very often with seniors getting to go out, win their last game or winning the championship. That's something that we'll talk about a lot tonight. I'm really trying to get our guys to have those conversations together or even in small groups, but without us. We'll obviously talk about it as a team with the coaching staff around, but to me, those conversations are most powerful, and those connections are most powerful when it's player to player, and it's authentic and not something that's forced by the coach. But it's, I told our guys going into the NIT, this is the last time we'll be together as a team with this specific team, regardless of who comes back or who leaves. Every year's a new year, so it's a chance to really embrace being together and go out in the right way.
Why do you think the guys really have sort of embraced this NIT run? It seems like, they're playing loose and fun. They're having fun. They're enjoying it. But it seems like together they really sort of coalesced in a way that maybe they didn't throughout the regular season.
Well, the simple answer to that is, and there's obviously multiple layers underneath, but when you have a group of guys that put all their focus on winning and what goes into winning, as long as you have a talented group and they like each other, they're good guys, then you're going to be successful. Now, there's umpteen things that can obscure that focus on winning. There's, you know, how much am I playing? How am I playing? Who's watching me? Am I going to the NBA? Is coach not playing me as much as I want? Is my role what it needs to be? What's going to happen next year? How does my family feel? How do scouts feel? I'm tired. It goes on and on and on. And so that's something we talk about all the time. It's human nature, for those things to come in. But at the same time, the best teams are able to find a way to block that stuff out. It is a long season. I mean, we started practice, I want to say it was September 26th or somewhere in there, somewhere in the September 20-something. And it's literally, it's April 3rd today. So, there's a ebb and flow of that because these guys are human beings. But for us to gain consistency long term, we have to spend more time in the right place. But I think that's been the biggest reason that we've been successful the last four games.
To carry on that, though, it feels like, just from what the guys are saying these past 2 weeks, whatever, that this is as close to that feeling that maybe since you've been here,
in
terms of how they're thinking and performing and at least talking about it.
Yeah, I think it still comes and goes, but what they've done a really good job of for the most part is in practice and then most importantly in the game. The guys have been where they need to be. Sometimes you have to use different methods to get them there. I think it does help that they get along, pretty well with each other. And then you have the fact that, man, our last several weeks, our last 3 weeks, I guess, of our regular season, and you count the conference tournament in there, went, much, much differently, obviously, other than the Iowa State game at home, than we would want it to go. And, I've tried to get these guys to accept the life lesson of that's on us, guys. If all of us are sitting around a room, coaches and players, there's no one outside this room that we can point any finger at or blame. It's we have to take ownership of it, and that includes Snoop's suspension. That includes being up at Baylor and not being able to finish that game or not finishing that game. That includes our senior day against TCU. And, as a young person, that is really, really tough to internalize just because our society or, some of the messages we're taught are, blame others for that or try to evade responsibility. But, for us to take the next step, and hopefully this stretch in the postseason is helping us with that. It's about taking that ownership because that's the key to being a consistently good team.
As it relates to that next step, how encouraging or exciting is this for you personally to see them string together four wins like this, and in a lot of ways getting back to what you want your identity to be, the defense and the effort, the aggressiveness and all those things, obviously weighing in the disappointment of Selection Sunday, but seeing how they're ending the year.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about control what you can control. So, you turn on the TV and you're watching the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, but, at that point, that's out of our control. So, our guys have done a good job refocusing on who we want to be. And, it's interesting that I've always told these guys the last couple years that we could be one of the best, if not the best, defensive teams in the country. Obviously, when we had Mo, even though he's a freshman, I mean, that's as good of a defensive piece as there is. Jackson, wasn't quite on that level, but he was really, really, doing a good job there. So he went down. But now we've been better with our team defense over the last four games, and particularly the last couple games, it's like, guys, we don't necessarily always control whether the ball is going to go in or you know how things are always going to go, the breaks that we get on offense, but we can play with great effort and tenacity and togetherness on defense. And I think playing TCU helped us with that last night, in that they had kicked our butts. And particularly in the game at home, they just got so many easy baskets that you give them credit for. I mean, Desmond Bane sprinted his rear end off to get down the floor and beat us down the floor. But we, you know, if you're a team that really values defense, you got to take that away. And guys did a good job of it last night.
What's changed? I mean, what's changed? I mean, I asked Dylan about that.
What did he say?
He had a long pause. He didn't really have a.
He always has a long pause.
Yeah, it was longer than normal.
And usually didn't say good question.
I mean, is there any?
I'll tell you later what that really means.
No, I think we know.
I think it's a combination of things. I think one, again, that stretch late February, early March, so unbelievably disappointing. You know, contrary to what people outside of our program might think, we are much more exponentially more disappointed when we don't win or when something doesn't go well than anyone else could be outside of our program. And that goes for the players, too. Now, they don't always show it the same way. You know, when I played after a loss, I didn't talk to anyone for 2 days. And, you know, it was really, really hard for me as a coach early on to understand that how could anyone just be, like, literally smiling, you know, hours after a game. But everybody deals with it differently, and I do believe that, again, that stretch is really, really upsetting, disappointing to our guys. And then, obviously, a lot of people had a lot of negative things to say about our team, our players, me, Texas basketball. And so we've challenged our guys' pride. You know, you said it, Brian, in one of the press conferences after one of the games. It's like, hey, is this about pride? And absolutely. And I think that's part of the way they've responded. I think there's certainly some embarrassment there on the part of some of our guys that, man, we didn't make the NCAA tournament, and, you know, this team that we beat is in, and this team that we beat, and this team. So I give the guys a lot of credit that they've said, hey, this is what we can control right now is what goes into these games, our preparation, and then the effort and fight that we show. And now, you know, we are where we are, and hopefully we can go do it one more time.
In some ways, does this finish help you tell them, like, see, if you hate losing and you know your season is done if you lose a basketball game, you see what happens, like, when you yeah. take that sort of mindset consistently to what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, but we have to find better ways in the moment. It's not like we don't have that conversation
right.
going into Oklahoma State on the road. But obviously, you know, we were as flat as you can be to start that game. So it's on me. I have to do a better job having that conversation, but in the right way. You know, going into any season, you have kind of an overall theme in terms of how you want to approach it. And then what you try to do is have a bunch of sub-themes that basically say the same thing in a different way, because with today's generation, you can't say, hey, do what we did yesterday. You know, do what we did last game, because they need something different, something new. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is a really valuable experience for a guy like Courtney Ramey. You know, he and I, as I've mentioned a couple of times, we're at each other's throats all the time, and he doesn't quite understand why I'm on his butt all the time. And his thing is, I'm good in the games, which he has been pretty darn good in the games, but he's learning a lot from these experiences. I mean, even last night, he threw the ball to Popcorn Man. It's like, you got to turn the page and get to the next thing. We got to get this next stop, and he did a good job of that. This is, I think, valuable experience. I showed the guys, and, they probably think that I was, hitting them with cruel and unusual punishment, but I showed them on Selection Sunday. Obviously, we all had a pretty good idea we were going to come up short of getting in the NCAA tournament. I showed them our team sheet. I put it up on a big screen. And I said, yeah, here's our team sheet, here's what the NCAA selection committee uses to evaluate. And we talked about team sheets in the past. We last year, we did that. Coming into this year, we talked about, hey, this is what qualifies as a quadrant one game. Here's, the way they evaluate it. And I showed them. I said, guys, 16 and 16. And let's look at each of these games. And that's a tough pill to swallow, but it's also a lesson that, our guys need to learn, obviously our returning guys, because, next year it'll be December 7th and we'll play whoever. And, there's maybe a tendency to think, we're going to beat them, or I'm a little tired. It's been a long semester. Got to find a way. We got to find a way to be our best, because that game's going to be right there on that team sheet on March 16th or whatever day Selection Sunday is, and it's going to be red if you lose, and it's not going to be red if you win. And the reality is, one or two more of those, and we're not sitting here. And that would have been a different path. I mean, what would have happened if we'd have gotten the NCAA tournament? Who knows? But got to learn a lesson from the path that you do go down.
One last one. And you kind of talked about Courtney. Is he a guy that has sort of positioned himself going ahead, especially with Snip and Gill leaving, as sort of the face of this program, the voice of this program, the leader next year?
I would like for him and Matt to be. If you look at college basketball and some of the teams that have been most successful over the years, the best Big 12 example is Mason and Graham. Is a lot of these teams have had a two-headed monster in the backcourt that play off of each other. And Villanova did it really well for their stretch, where they won two out of three national championships. You go down the line with teams that have won big. Those two are very different from each other. I've coached a couple twosomes in the past, not even necessarily at those positions, but guys that have learned to make each other better. Player A makes player B better in the areas where player A is really advanced, and then player B makes player A better in the areas where he's really advanced. Courtney has the best competitive spirit of anyone on our team. He is not afraid. He's never afraid. He doesn't back down. He values winning to a very, very high extent. So he can really help Matt and the rest of our guys be the best they can be in that area. Matt Coleman thinks the most like a coach by far on our team. He is the least bothered by the umpteen things that are going to come up during a basketball game or a basketball practice. He probably focuses on the guys around him the most. He has a maturity about him. So those two together, if they can continue to come closer together, if they can impact their teammates in a positive way. As we all know, you win big with really good guards in the Big 12 and in college basketball. And usually it's with older guards. So this year, those two were a freshman and a sophomore. They'll be a year older next year. And, as we've learned, a year older doesn't guarantee that you're just going to take this monumental jump as a player. You got to put the work in, and not just physically. You have to put the work in watching tape, learning the game more, understanding the intricacies of how to make the guys around you better. For Courtney, I hit him with six words. Less bothered, more receptive, better details. And if he can own those six words, he can be as good as he wants to be. And he can be a heck of a a guard compared to anybody. But he does need to make strides in those areas.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.